bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this January 13th, 2026. This is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a gorgeous day in the Auburn Opelika area. Tons to get to on the program this afternoon. We've got football to talk about, basketball to talk about, transfer portal to talk about, breaking news in the NFL to talk about. I mean, all sorts of stuff going on here on the show today, and we appreciate you being with us. However you're tuned in, whether it's 106.7 on your radio dial, ESPNAU.com, or that Radio Alabama app, or for those of you listening back to the podcast a little bit later on, we appreciate you as well. Happy Tuesday, Christian. How are you, sir?
Happy Tuesday, man. Doing well. Excited to get back into the studio. I feel like we're sitting here every single time we step in, there's new news that needs to be talked about. There's new news that you have to be able to cover, and we're going to do that here again today. We're talking more about it. You mentioned it as Alex Golish gets another commit, somebody that if you listened to yesterday's show, we talked about. Mm-hmm. And now you have your starting center, or you at least have a depth piece in your center position in there as well. We'll get to that name, talk about the Auburn offensive line, maybe need a couple more names, but Auburn continuing to round out the offense, the offensive line, and just the team altogether. We also have a little bit of a video that we want to be able to show the audio of, and won't hint at it too much quite yet, but if you go on social media right now, you can pretty much see or hear the audio from a former Auburn Tiger that is kind of trying to put the fan base back into a reality check. And so we want to be able to play that for you here again today. We'll talk some college basketball, some top 25 games, some really good games in the SEC and elsewhere as well. We'll also give a little preview for Auburn basketball and Missouri. We have some draft board news to talk about in there as well. And then we have a little bit about how the portal taketh, but maybe this new portal is give a thing just a little bit more and bringing things back to what college football used to be. We'll talk all about that here on the Tuesday edition here this afternoon.
Yep, and no guests lined up today, so a wide open show for you to be a part of. If you would like to do so, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on anything going on around the world of sports, anything we're talking about, anything you want to talk about, we'd love to discuss it with you here on the show today. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Or you can hit us up in the on-the-line text box if you would like to do that. It's easier. You can do that as well by shooting us a text at 334-784-1067. And we have a ton to get to. I will be leaving a little bit early today, around 3:30. I've got high school basketball tonight, heading on the road to Smith Station. Tigers and Panthers tonight for Auburn High. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to get back on the air this evening for that, but we'll talk more about that in hour number two. And news breaking from the transfer portal yesterday that we hinted at. We discussed the idea and the possibility of it, and it's nice when those things come to fruition, because not only did Auburn pick up a guy on the offensive line, Christian, that I know Auburn fans will be excited about, you probably just found your starting center for the 2026 season.
You do, and this comes after the news, again, of Cale Ellis returning, and so obviously a very good sign when you're continuing to get depth and you have a competition on the offensive line of who's going to start and who is not going to start. But Cole Best, the interior offensive lineman, again, that starting center for South Florida yesterday that we hinted at after the other South Florida offensive tackle committed and signed with the Tigers. But yes, Cole Best, the starting center from South Florida, who took snaps for Byron Brown all last year, knows this Golish offense, knows how it wants to be done and how it wants to be run. He has committed to the Auburn Tigers. 6'4", 315, and again, another really big piece for this Alex Golish and the offensive line starting to form its way into competitiveness for 2026.
I mean, you're having to rebuild it from the ground up, basically. Yeah. I mean, between guys that you brought in, or I guess that Auburn brought in, previous staffs brought in that were just not panning out here, guys that are graduating or guys that are leaving to go to the NFL draft or whatever the case may be, you are having to rebuild your offensive line. And so you are able to bring in this guy who has several years of eligibility. He redshirted in 21. He played just two games in 22. He played almost every game in 2023, started all games in 2024, and then was a graduate player last year as the starting center, giving him 1 year of eligibility. And so for Auburn, right, I understand that it feels like Auburn has been stuck in this rut, right? You drive the four-wheeler through, I can make it there, and then your back tires get stuck and they're just spinning. It seems like Auburn's been stuck in that for 4, 5, 6 years.
And then the very next day, it's, I can make it through this time.
Yeah, but my point to that is, with the offensive line.
Right.
You've just continued to bring guys in. You've continued to get yourself excited about them. You've continued to hear the good things and the good stats and see the good signs. And then the season gets here and it's like, what the heck's going on? This offensive line is not good. They're not producing. They're bad. They're not working. And part of that, I think, is the evaluation of these guys in the portal. Part of this is the guys themselves, that some of them have just not worked out. And I said this yesterday, and I'll continue to say it. I think part of it was the coaching that you had. Whether it's the offensive coach or your head coach or the offensive line coach. I mean, there are several reasons that you can use, not just one. There's not one all-be-all. But I think Auburn has a serious problem, and that's not a crazy statement. Auburn has had a serious problem on the offensive line. I've posed the question. When is the last time that Auburn had a competent offensive line 1 through 5? A competitive offensive line 1 through 5? They've had it on paper several times.
That's what I was about to say, was in July, many times.
But actually on the field and competing in games, it's been horrific. And so now is a new chance. Now is a new era of a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator, a new offensive line coach in Tyler Hudnick, that you have a chance to see what happens. And for anybody that wants to be picky about the O-line, you can be if you want, but man, you're at the point right now, if you're Alex Golish, you just need bodies. You don't even have enough to put an offensive line on the field, much less be upset about not getting the right guy or the right name. I mean, be happy with what you get, and let's see what happens with the Tigers in 26.
Yeah, Cole Best is the fourth offensive lineman to transfer, and the first three have signed. I don't know if we have confirmation yet of Cole Best signing, but
he did.
He did sign. He did. Okay, yeah. So then that was either late last night or that was this morning. And that's another really good sign, because we've joked about the word committing and signing being polar opposites here in today's world, of how you see everybody commit and nobody's even excited about that anymore. Half the time you aren't even necessarily excited when they put pen to paper because of all of the ways that you can get out of that. But one thing that Alex Golish has not had a problem doing is everybody that comes to the Plains and says they commit, he signs them. And in the transfer portal, that makes you feel a little bit better than just the regular signees, I guess, from the high school level, just because of all of the drama that goes on. Auburn's not in that spot right now because you know your next head coach. And so the ability to get guys here, get the guys that you want, and I think a lot of that is Alex Golish bringing over the team and the offense that he feels comfortable with, that feels comfortable with him, both on and off the field. You bring in the quarterback in Byron Brown, who we've talked about and has been highlighted for a couple of weeks now, but filling in those pieces around him, the offensive line that gave him a lot of success last year. What a challenge and what a fun challenge it should be for Golish and for Coach Hudnick to sit there and say, yeah, this is what you did against G5 opponents. What more of an opportunity could you want? Now you get to go prove that at the highest level playing in the SEC.
Yeah, and so we'll see how it all pans out, right? You have that plus the other guys you've brought in offensively. Auburn's not done. I will say this is a dead period right now in the transfer portal. Guys cannot be on campus the next several days, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The 12th. 13th and 14th is the dead period. Don't ask me why. I have no idea why they decided this was the random time in the middle of the transfer portal to make a dead period. But
yeah, we're gonna move the transfer portal, make it 2 weeks. However, the final 3 days that it's open, you can't talk to the kids that are on campus, and you can't get kids on campus.
Yeah, I don't know. Stupid, if you ask me. But that's just the.
Are you saying the calendar in college football is messed up?
I mean. It's all right. Speaking of that, this is kind of a side note to this whole conversation. Did you see what the FBS head coaches voted on today? Did you see this? FBS head coaches have voted, and for college football, right, have voted unanimously to expand the eligibility for redshirt years from 4 games to 9. It's a recommendation, okay?
What?
It will be put forward. The D1 committee has to look at it. Or some sort of a coaches' convention. Head coaches have voted unanimously, according to David Ubbin. They have voted unanimously for a redshirt eligibility player to play up to 9 games in a season, rather than the 4 that it is right now. Sorry, we were talking about the NCAA, and that sparked my brain, and I had to bring that up.
I had not seen that, and that's...
How ridiculous
that's
is that?
That's wild, because that you're basically going to have college football tanking. If you're 6-3, or even if you're 7-2, all right, guys, good season. We're going to go ahead and rest all of our freshmen now. We're going to rest all of the sophomores or the juniors that we brought in, because, darn, we're not going to make the college football playoff. So we won't burn a year, and we'll have you next year to basically restart.
The intention of a redshirt was to spare yourself a year of eligibility if something goes wrong or you simply don't play. What was the rule before 4 games? Was there one? What was the mark?
If you played.
If you touched the field?
Yeah.
And then they moved it to 4 games, which I liked. I think that's fine. Obviously, the redshirting has been abused, but from guys like Diego Pavia and guys like that who have fought for extra years of eligibility because they played at a JUCO or they played at a community college or, you know, they whatever the case may be. But I thought a 4-game limit felt pretty good, made sense. You played basically a third of the season, give or take, and... At that point, you realized, okay, yeah, this isn't for me. Obviously, all 4 games don't have to be in a row, but you get the point. This is utterly stupid. I get why coaches voted on it. Heck yeah. Coaches said, we want our kids to play as much as possible and not lose eligibility. Absolutely. Play up to 9 games in a season and say, yeah, I think I'm going to redshirt. I think I'm going to come back another year.
Yeah, we're not going to have you play the first 2 games, okay, Jacob? We're not going to have you play South Dakota State, and we're not going to have you play Ball State,
yeah.
Or we're not going to have you play Mercer at the end of the year. However,
you'll play every conference
that's
game.
Crazy. We have 9 conference games, so you can play in all 9 of those, but you don't have to worry. You're still going to be a redshirt freshman when the year is done.
I don't think this will ever come to fruition. Again, this is what the coaches voted on. It's a suggestion. It has to be approved. I think this further proves that we are heading down the road of redshirting going away altogether.
Yeah, if every college kid gets 5 years,
I think you
regardless.
Should.
I
think
unless,
at this point.
I think, there's again, it's the – I mean, you give an inch, they take a mile. I do agree with the medical – red shirt side of things, but I think that should have to come at a certain date, right? I mean, that should have to come prior to the season starting. It can't be I'm 6 games in, let me decide to red shirt. If you start the season, you play, but if you're in spring training and you tear your ACL, that is at least a little bit more understandable. But again, there's still so many ways, even if you allow that they would find loopholes
that's the problem.
To abuse that sort of system. as you're already seeing every system being abused in college sports.
Yeah, which is why I think if you go that route where the NCAA or whoever's in charge at that point says, you're a college athlete, you've got 5 years. Make the most of it. Because guess what? That's life. It's part of it. You don't get played? Sorry. Go find somewhere else. Work through it. Fight it off. Do something else. You get hurt? That really sucks. I'm really sorry. You got to take a year off for family issues? I get it. Life happens, and I do feel sorry for that. But there are way too many college athletes to try and nitpick and grade and judge every single case, which is what the NCAA has been doing for years.
I was about to say that's what it used to do.
And has proven they cannot handle that.
It used to do it with medical transfers.
Yeah, exactly. And you saw what? There was a situation with a kid that moved, I forget where it was, from a Southeastern school, I think up to like a Maryland or a Rutgers or something like that. I can't remember the exact situation.
He wanted
to
come back home because of family health.
Yeah,
right?
Something like that. Mom had something going on. Again, I don't remember the exact situation, but that went on for years, right? Just eliminate that. Stone cold, make it, it's the rule. The rules are the rules. And if you want to play for 5 years, cool. If you want to play for one, cool. But the whole redshirting thing, it was good while it lasted, but it doesn't work anymore. And again, we're talking about this idea that FBS coaches voted today to expand the eligibility for redshirt years from 4 games to 9. That is not meaning it's intact. It's not taking place. They just voted for it. That has to be approved and all of that. I just think we're going down the path of just have 5 years. You're a fifth-year player. You're a fourth-year player. You're a third-year player. Heck, we can go ahead and get rid of the freshman, sophomore, junior, senior terminology. I know that's your school classification, but these guys aren't going to class anyway and getting degrees, so let's just drop that and call it like it is. And so think about that as we bring this back to Auburn here. Think about how much easier that would be for a brand-new head coach like Alex Golish and his staff. You're going to the transfer portal right now, and you go get a starting center like Cole Best. All right, he's a fifth-year player. All right, you got one more year. That's what we got. We're going to plan for that. Knowing we have 1 year, knowing we got to go get your replacement, whether it's in the recruiting class or in the transfer portal next year, we have 1 year with this guy. Oh, you have 2 years of college football under your belt? All right, cool. That's some serious experience. We have a chance for you to play 3 more years? And it's bookmarked. You know it. It's concrete. Rather than, obviously, he could leave in the portal. I'm saying for his career, you know what you're going to get. And for me as a visual person, dude, I'd have that on a massive board in my office. Massive board in my office of all the players and where they are in their careers.
Yeah, you have
one,
you're
two, you're three. Yeah.
5 columns and every single name is under every single one of them.
Wouldn't that make it so much easier for a guy like Alex Golish taking over a new program?
And think about it just from this standpoint of what we have asked for is the 2-year deal, 3rd-year option. You could then still transfer and fulfill your 2-year option or your 2-year deal. Your 3rd year, you decide to enter the portal or before the 3rd-year deal, and then you could go have a whole nother one.
Yeah. Eric in Auburn sent us a text in the on-the-line text box 334-784-1067 and says this, keep coming back to the question, though, why just 5 years? What other industry has a limit on how long you can make money for? And I understand that question, and I think my answer immediately would be that limits, I guess that's the constraint, that's the difference of college football, college athletics versus professional. Same way as high school. Or you get 4 years to complete high school. Yeah, you can get held back and you can do all that, but as far as I know, you can't go to high school for 7 or 8 years and keep competing in high school football because they don't want 23-year-olds going and hitting a 15-year-old and seriously injuring the guy, right? Same way for college because it's always been that way. Back in the good old days, right, back in the day, you had 4 years. You went to school, you got your degree, and you moved on.
And if you redshirted, it was your freshman year because you realized that I want to go play for this school. However, there's a junior or a senior that's in front of me. I'm not fully developed yet. I'm not fully there with my talent development. So I need an extra year to get ready for the jump from high school to college.
Right. But that's what made college athletics was you have a certain time frame to go to school, get your degree, compete at that level, and then you got to move on. because it was school. I think that's the big part there, Eric, that people are not discussing nowadays, was the school part attached to that. That's why there seemed to be a time limit. That's why you can't have most of these, or you couldn't in the past, have somebody say, yeah, but I got my four-year degree, but you know what? I think I want my master's degree. And then it's like, you know, I guess I'll go be a doctor. If that means I can play two more years of college football, I'm going to go get my doctorate. Be in school for 8 years and play all those years, you couldn't do that. But now you got these guys vying for their seventh and eighth years of college football, and it's like, man, what are we doing?
Good thing is, as we head to break, there's not athletic departments that are splitting from the universities. We haven't had that conversation with Kentucky at all, and so could you imagine if Kentucky's like, yeah, you can just play here as long as you want. We're a college institution, but
if it becomes semi-pro, then yeah, which is basically what it is.
You make the jump when you want.
At that point, if you're talking about paying them in contracts and things like that, the term college football is out the window.
Yeah.
That's semi-pro. That's what that is. You start talking legitimate contracts, which you already technically are, that's semi-pro, buddy. That's what that is.
Wild.
So, all right, let's get to break. We'll talk more Auburn when we come back. As a former player, if we can get the audio to pull up, we'll play what Cole Kublik had to say earlier today. Kind of bringing Auburn fans back down to earth. More on that coming up on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And something that has started to circulate the internet a little bit, at least in the state of Alabama, from a buddy of ours, Cole Kublik, up at WJOX. That's Jocks 94.5. A clip that Cole had himself a little, I don't know, or had a moment this morning on McElroy and Kublik in the morning, and was talking about Auburn, and was talking about Auburn fans, I think in particular, just about the mindset around the team, around the program, around the idea of players leaving and staying and choosing one thing over the other and priorities and things like that. I mean, it's not for me to tell you exactly what he said, but more so we will allow you to hear what he's asking. And there's some things that I like and there's some things that I don't like in it. And I don't know exactly what sparked this, but it is kind of fascinating to listen and hear what he had to say. And we'll try to take a later break once we get this pulled up. What's our status over there?
We're getting there. I found it, then lost it, so I'm getting it back up. But we'll clear the break and we'll get this here in just a second.
Okay. So basically, to give you a synopsis of it before we get it pulled back up, is he was talking about Auburn and about players leaving to go somewhere else, and why fans should just get over it, basically, is what it's kind of the moral of the 2 minutes or so that he kind of went off. And I get it, I understand, especially with the era that we're in. But again, I don't know where this came from, and maybe his coffee just didn't taste that great this morning. I don't know. We've had Cole on the show before. He's a great guy, and he's an Auburn guy. We know that for sure. And so we good to go?
This may not be the exact two-minute clip, maybe a little before, but yes.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, let it rip.
All right, here we go.
You know what Emory Blake was not? First-round draft pick. You know what he had done? Played in a lot of football games. Cody Burns didn't really start as a receiver, but you know he had been around a lot? College football. Knew it, understood it, had been around it. Now, he had a tailback that was young, new. But he had a couple others that were in the backfield at different points in time that had played a lot. So he had a lot of guys with a lot of wherewithal that had played a lot of college football. So they were in position to say, hey, man, take it and run. We will help you. There weren't a lot of helpers on the Auburn football team this year. Some tried to be. I think the center tried to be. I think the right guard tried to be. Don't think the left tackle really tried to be. I think the right tackle thought he was going to be able to and couldn't. I don't think any of the tight ends were in a position to really do that. I think there are some other receivers that could have been and weren't really given the right opportunities to do it. And by not being able to do so, their attitude dwindled down the season. And when the attitudes start to go down the drain, you think you're going to be able to prop up other guys around you to be really good? No.
Not usually.
But then you go out and you wear pink ski masks to be different from everybody else on the team. That's the guy that's going to take the reins and pull the program? We're going to sit around and cry about a guy that's got less than 100 catches in 2 years. We're going to sit around and cry about a guy that's played in one game. You got to stop. You got to stop. No player cripples a program when they leave. Not a single one. Not to the draft. Not to the portal. Not to Enterprise Rent-A-Car to start a career. None of them cripple a program when they leave. And if your mindset is of so, that is a loser brain. That is a loser take. That is a loser mindset to think, oh, he's leaving. We can't win. You can't think that way. And this obsession with these two guys that they've propped up any portion of the program. What games did Auburn win because of two said players?
Mercer.
I'll wait.
Mercer.
Congratulations.
Just saying.
What FBS games did Auburn win because of the two said players? Vanderbilt, when Cam Coleman went off with all the one-handed catches? Oh. Which one?
He was open against Oklahoma.
Fair.
You don't need to convince
again,
me.
I know.
So that was Cole Kublik again this morning up on Jocks 94.5 in Birmingham, former offensive lineman, former player for Auburn. And again, I don't know what sparked that. Sounds like he had been sitting on that for a while, and obviously the take there was calling out Auburn fans for being upset about guys leaving the team, big names leaving the team, in particular Deuce Knight and Cam Coleman. I'll push back a little bit. The messaging, I get it. I totally understand what he's saying there. But in my opinion, as somebody who lives in Auburn, works on the radio in Auburn, covers Auburn on a daily basis, have fans been upset about it? Yeah. But I don't think it's been to that level. I think we've seen a lot worse reactions for different players in the past than a guy like Cam Coleman or Deuce Knight, right? I haven't heard hardly anybody say anything about Malcolm Simmons going to Texas Tech. I don't even think we've talked about it on the air. So I understand where Cole's coming from, and he's absolutely right that one player does not make or break a program when they leave. I love that, especially nowadays. I think you see it. But I don't know where the fire is coming from in that particular take from him. Do you? What's your take on that?
I just think that it's the fact that of agreeing that because before Cam and Deuce announced their intention, that was everybody's mindset that Golish had to keep. We talked about it, and the fan base talked. Those were the non-negotiables. That's what you had to find a way to do. And it got to the point where I do believe that, yeah, the fan base did get to the point of calling for Alex Golish's name because he was not able to, quote-unquote, keep them at Auburn. And when I think you're looking at it from the outside looking in, I don't think this includes Cam as much from the standpoint of there was no social media bashing from him, right? I mean, you didn't hear a single thing other than him entering and then him committing, things like that. Obviously, not every portal commit goes that way. I think a little bit more of those feelings are towards Deuce and the teases with Notre Dame and Ole Miss even throughout the season and deleting the pictures and deleting Auburn football out of the bot, things like that that just felt a little bit more immature. But I think the emotion is much more raw just using those two as the example of an overall team, but I may not be in the pushback mentality as much as you are because I do think that fan base, our fan base, got to the point of where those were what had to stay. And if it didn't happen, it felt a little bit more like a failure.
But I don't know. I guess when Golish was hired and the staff was brought in or whatever, or when one coach leaves and another one comes in, I lose all confidence that players will be retained. Do you know how much confidence I had in Auburn to actually keep Cam Coleman? About zero. Zero. I had zero confidence in that for several reasons that I won't get into on the air. But zero confidence that they could actually pull it off. I wanted them to try, and they absolutely should have. But that was not going to happen. Deuce Knight, different story. Maybe or maybe not. But clearly it didn't work. And most of the guys you lost on offense were ones that Auburn sat down in the office and said, hey, thanks, but no thanks. That's what Auburn did for a lot of those guys. And as much as I love the idea of Deuce Knight, he played in a game or two. He didn't do anything for you, right? It sucks because the potential's gone, and especially since he went to an SEC team. That hurts too. And Cam was one that hurts because he chose Auburn, and Auburn hurt him. Auburn burned him. And now he's going to go somewhere, and you hope he's great at Texas. But for me, any player that you retain on a roster in this transfer portal era, especially during a coaching change, is a bonus. And I think Auburn has kept a very good amount of players. Most of them defensively, sure. But guess which side of the ball was effective last year? Guess what side of the ball actually helped you win games last year? It was defense. And so that's my differentiating mentality, I guess, is I didn't have confidence in Cam Coleman or Deuce Knight or those guys staying at Auburn, so I guess I'm not as fired up about it as others are. But I totally understand where they're coming from, especially, again, the clip that we played from Cole.
The difference is your mentality of that was not the fan base's mentality of that.
But that's ridiculous to think that way.
And that's why he's calling them out.
But I guess I just didn't see as much of that as I thought I would. And maybe I just missed
it. I don't think we did once it became official. Once Cam committed to Texas, there was no, okay, let's bash him. Or once Deuce Knight, there was a little bit more of that. But the fan base took the mentality of, you have to keep Deuce Knight and Cam Coleman. That was all that we heard from the offensive side of the football day one when Alex Golish was hired. And there were legitimately people saying that Golish wasn't able to fit the needs for Auburn because he wasn't able to do what he needed to do and wipe the slate clean for good, for bad, based off of rumors or whatever the heck we've all heard. I just think that was where the fan base was at, and I think he sees a lot of that, and I think that's where that emotion came out.
Yeah, very well could be. Interesting stuff, though. Cole Kublik again up on Jocks 94.5. That has gone all over the internet today, and wanted to play it and kind of react to that as well. And so, okay, we have gone way past our break. We got to move on. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Have a couple of shorter segments about basketball coming up tonight and tomorrow around the SEC, college basketball and more. So we'll have that coming up, plus some more fun conversations in hour number two. So stick around. The Tuesday edition of On the Line continues after this.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
We are back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, as we continue on with the Tuesday edition of On the Line. And we are going to flip to basketball and talk about that. Great games going on tonight around college basketball, the SEC. Of course, Auburn back in action tomorrow against Missouri on the road, so the Tiger Bowl there in Como. Someone texted in our text box, 334-784-1067, which you can do as well, or give us a call at 334-321-1390. They said they were going to call in, but their timing didn't work out. But they said, I have hope for the first time in 5 years. Going back to the football conversation, someone saying that they have that dangerous thing called hope. Is it, believe it's a quote in one of my favorite movies in Shawshank Redemption, that hope is, wow, God, what does he say? He says hope is the most dangerous thing is hope or something like that. Is that the quote that they say in Shawshank Redemption?
Oh, gosh.
I love that movie, man.
Yeah, hope is a dangerous thing.
Hope is a dangerous thing. That's it. Ah, what a great movie. Great.
But then there's the one from Red, I believe, Isn't There After, that talks about hope being a good thing and good things never die. Isn't that towards the end of it as well?
Maybe. Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen it. It's a great movie, though.
Yeah. Hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane is the full one that you're thinking about. But I'm pretty positive there. Yeah. Hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. So you get the full circle of the word hope. And hopefully we get the full circle of hope in 2026.
Have I ever told you what I bought my mom one year for, I think, Mother's Day? She's a huge
fan. Isn't her
movie.
Favorite movie, Shawshank?
It's not her favorite, but it's one of her favorites.
I remember.
We watched it a ton.
It was the bark or
it was a piece of the tree.
Yeah.
It was a piece of the tree. The very end of the movie where they bury the box and he goes and once he breaks out of jail and he finds it and all that.
Yeah.
The tree at the end. I guess that tree died eventually, wherever that place is. And somehow, yeah, I found online. And it was legit. Like, it was, you know, it was verified. It was, like, from the creators of the movie and stuff. Yeah, they were selling pieces of it, like, in a little memorabilia thing, and I bought it for that and a couple things like made from the tree.
That's
so
pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I think a couple coasters and stuff like that. So hope, there you go.
Surprised that tree made it as long as it did, just based off of, I'm sure that location is revealed of where that tree was, so the amount of people that,
yeah, I don't know,
went there.
I don't know. Yeah. But hope is a dangerous thing sometimes. But I wonder, right, how many fans fall into that category for Auburn football, just about hope in general, for the team and the program, a new coach, and new players. And maybe it is a new mentality. Maybe it is a new mindset. And I think that's what Cole Kublik was talking about in the previous clip that we played, was get out of the old mindset. And we talked about it when Golich got hired. I was big on this. Clean house. Other than DJ Durkin, man, clean house. Get him out. Move on. That's what you have to do, because you're always going to have stuff that lingers on and lingers around if you don't. And I think for the most part, that's what Alex Golish did, in my opinion.
Total side note before we get back to it. Do you know where Lucas, Ohio is?
Lucas, Ohio.
Next to the Malabar Farm State Park?
I don't guess so.
Darn. If it was near Penn State, you would know, but no, that's where the tree is located, or was, before it was toppled by storms in 2011 and 2016.
Really? Oh, that's north. Oh, that's north, north Ohio. Yeah, that's not anywhere near where I was from.
Oh, well.
No, that is up there. Looking at the map, that appears to be up. God, that's west. Is that west of Cleveland? Is that right? Let's see. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's southwest of Cleveland. Oh, gross. Gross. Yeah, that's. That's up there. That's not bad, but yeah, it's further than I would want to go. I don't recommend it.
So, not worth going to see where the tree used to be.
Yeah, where the tree was. No, no, not at all.
But no, but I agree with you. Again, the ability that Golish has done is worthy of an applause, at least from the standpoint of the wiping the slate clean. There is no real true resemblance, you hope, of what the teams of the past were, the players that re-signed their deals or agreed to come back to Auburn are the players that you hope were the ones that drove this Auburn program in the right direction. And, I mean, how many times do you hear conversations of you need everybody in the right boat? You need everybody rowing in that right direction. Otherwise, you're just going to be sitting treading water. And that was what you saw with Auburn do over the past, what, 5 years or so? Of you feel like you just couldn't get over the hump. You couldn't win that big game in the fourth quarter, whether that was getting the stop that you needed to, going down and getting in the field goal range, or getting the touchdown that you need to. So many different ways. I mean, we've seen losses in ways that you feel like you couldn't see possible or you couldn't see again, yet it just brings up feelings from last year or 2 years ago.
To the point where we were questioning, like, is Auburn, like, cursed? Like, is there some voodoo stuff going on around? Like, you were legitimately starting to, like, question your sanity at times watching Auburn football.
Because it was things that you couldn't fathom happening. You saw happening multiple times, or there would be a little tiny branch off in the other direction, but it still boiled back to the same exact thing. And so, again, these are wrapping up the comments from Cole Kublik and all of his his morning rant that he decided to have on trying to bring the Auburn fan base reality back into check. But what you're seeing now, and again, the text box is proving that maybe there is a little bit of that dangerous word called hope, just from the standpoint of everything that's being built, the guys that did choose to stay on the offensive side of the football, the defense being absolutely legit again, and now you're seeing these final pieces of the puzzle work their way into the formation, whether that is a starter, whether that is just a bench rotation piece. You feel like confidence is beginning to grow. Now you have that dangerous thing as well of waiting until September.
Yeah, and just seeing if this is the coach that pans out, because I think a portion of the fan base has convinced themselves that all three of the guys, Malzahn even in his older years, Harsin and Freeze, convinced themselves that it was going to work. And maybe that was hope, and maybe it was, you know, rooted in statistics or confidence or whatever the case may be. But the most frustrating thing is the idea that Auburn, at least under Hugh Freeze, I don't know if I'll go that far under Harsin, but under Hugh Freeze had the talent to be competitive and successful. Yeah. You look at Arkansas, Arkansas sucks. They just don't have the talent. They never have, and they never will, right? And I think Sam Pittman was a great guy. I think he was beloved there. They're looking for somebody to go get dudes. Arkansas doesn't have the talent. Auburn did. If you gave Sam Pittman that Auburn team from last year, they win 8 or 9 games. I think he's that good.
Especially with Taylen Green at quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. But you had a coach who couldn't manage it. You had a coach who couldn't do what was necessary, even though he preached doing what was necessary to win football games. That was what's frustrating. And so that is the goal and the hope and the wish and the want, right? Is that Alex Golish is a breath of fresh air, if you will, for Auburn to get talent, continue to build talent, and then they can't just be good when they show up and hope that it's all going to work out. They got to get better when they're here, too. That's a big part of this thing. So
that's another thing that the fan base you feel is a little bit conflicting about is when it was Hugh Freeze's first year, everybody knew the talent wasn't there, so there were no expectations year one. As long as you saw a jump in year two, and I think you did if you weren't looking at the win-loss column, and then everybody waited for year three, we have to remind ourselves that although we still have this talent, it's still a first-year head coach for the Tigers, but you conflict yourself with saying, okay, well, you still have the talent that you want to be able to compete, and then you bring in your guys and, what, the number two quarterback in the portal. You want to say that there's confidence moving forward, but then you also want to sit there and say, okay, maybe my hope needs to be pulled on the reins just a little bit and not sit here in January and say 8 wins or 9 wins is a necessity.
Well, I think the fair way to put it, as we put a bow on this and talk basketball when we come back, I think a fair way to put it is every head coach in their first year at a new program should have grace. We gave it to Harsin. We gave it to Freeze. You should give it to Alex Golish, right? There is some level of grace that he deserves. But I also think it's fair to say that Alex Golish's floor in year one is higher than Hugh Freeze's floor in his first year, because there's a major talent difference.
Did you say floor or ceiling?
Both. I said floor, but both. The expectations can be higher, but there still needs to be grace there. That can happen. Those can be true things, right?
With the 2026 schedule that's upcoming.
Yeah, that included, no doubt. Hugh Freeze took over a roster that didn't belong on the field with, I mean, some G5 teams. So year one was going to be bad for him. We just didn't know the signs were the signs until it was year two, year three, and we were like, oh, crap, we should have noticed this. Alex Golish is taking over probably because of what he has done in the portal and bringing guys in and retaining and things like that. I would say Alex Golish is taking over one of the more talented rosters we've seen in a year one for an Auburn head coach. I think back to when Chizik took over. I think back to when Malzahn took over. He obviously had a good team, took it to the national title that year, but probably since then, it's the most talented team Auburn has had for a first-year head coach. So I think the floor and ceiling can be higher for Golish in year one than it was for Freeze in year one, but there still needs to be grace if he doesn't hit the floor or if he doesn't hit the ceiling floor, whatever the case may be. That's my point there. So, okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. Quick segment coming up talking college basketball. We'll wrap up the hour right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, we got a couple of minutes here in hour number one, and we finally did it. We finally got to it. College basketball. Great games coming up tonight. Auburn not playing until tomorrow. A game you're watching tonight, sir. A game you'll have, since you are not on the air tonight, you'll be able to sit and watch a little college basketball. Who you watching tonight? What do you got on your calendar?
Virginia-Louisville should be a really, really good game. Again, that's the one of the two top 25 games. That's a top 20 matchup. Virginia goes to Houston. Louisville right around a field goal favorite in that game. Texas A&M and Tennessee should be a really fun game because it's a Texas A&M team that wants to get up and down the floor. It's a Tennessee team that doesn't want you to be able to do that. Tennessee is the much more physical team. Again, they're a double-digit favorite at home, but Texas A&M can shoot it with the best of everybody, and a very streaky team, but when they get hot, could be a really fun team to watch, as we saw inside Neville Arena. UConn and Seton Hall is another really good game. UConn right around a touchdown favorite in that contest. And Alabama-Mississippi State, man, what does the Alabama Crimson Tide do? We all expected the Texas game back at home to be that rebuild, that reboot game of, man, Nate Oates is pissed off. LeBaron Filon now is pissed off. The fan base should be pissed off. And then Texas walked in and really controlled the game from the opening tip. Should Alabama go in and just wax Mississippi State? Yes. But we thought that about Texas. Alabama 1-2 in the SEC. They need to show up, as does Florida on the road in Norman.
Yeah, I'm not trusting Florida on the road in Norman. I'll have my eyes on Iowa State and Kansas tonight, a big-time battle in the Big 12. Iowa State quietly up to the second-ranked team in the country, and they are favored inside of Allen Fieldhouse. So keep an eye on those games. You've got the Hoosiers and the Spartans, Indiana, Michigan State tonight, Boston College and Clemson as well. Tigers are a top 25 team and favored by 15.5. So ACC is not just bad in football, folks. Basketball is not their sport either. But we are done for hour number one. Stick around. We have more portal conversations coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us. And if you missed any of the first hour of today's show, you can always go back and listen to the podcast version of it. We just take our show audio, post it as a podcast in several places that you can find, anywhere you get your podcast, of course. But the best places to find it are on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Or on the Radio Alabama app. If you don't have that downloaded yet, you need to. We appreciate those of you who do listen to us there or on ESPNAU.com every single day. Because in hour number one, we talked about more transfer portal news for Auburn football as Alex Golish and the Tigers pick up a potential starting center for the 2026 season. Talked about that. plus reacted to the Cole Kublik, I guess, rant. I guess is the best way to put it, from this morning up on Jocks 94.5 in Birmingham, talking about Auburn fans, just basically telling them to chill out. So we talked about that, plus the changes that are trying to be made in college football and a little college basketball as well. So if you missed any of that from hour number one, you can go back and check it out on the Radio Alabama app and the Podcast Center or on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
And here in hour number two, we're going to start it by talking a little bit of Auburn, or I guess transfer portal outside of Auburn. I know you hinted on it yesterday on the way out, Jacob. The Sam Levitt saga continues. You feel like it's quarterback galore in the transfer portal. A lot of quarterbacks have found their new home. We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about that, talking about the drama that you feel like Lane Kiffin just cannot get away from, or Tennessee from this standpoint can't get away from. We'll also talk a little bit about Auburn football and Mel Kiper's most recent draft board projections. He has an Auburn Tiger in the first round, the second round, and the third round. We'll talk about those Tigers, what he saw from them, and what he wants to see from them to hear their name called in the upcoming NFL draft. Jacob's going to head out at 3:30 again to call some Auburn high school basketball. And we're going to talk a little bit about the good news of the transfer portal outside of they're no longer being a spring portal. And so can college football get back to normal just a little bit? We'll talk all about that here in hour number two.
Phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of the show, we encourage you to do so. 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390 is the phone line number. You can also shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And before we get to, well, actually, we'll wait on that. We'll wait on that because that's more relatable to the second segment of the hour. Transfer portal news outside of Auburn has been wild. It's out of control, really. It is. It's out of control for what's going on in the portal, trying to keep up, trying to figure out what exactly is going on every single moment of every single day. You look at the top 20 players. I saw CBS Sports put out a list earlier today. The top 20 rated transfers and where they're going so far in the transfer portal. Sam Levitt is the big one, going from Arizona State, visiting I think every program in the country, and ending up at LSU. Brendan Sorsby, that's the big story because of the financial value of $5 million for 1 year of football. The Cincinnati quarterback going to Texas Tech. Drew Mestemaker, the nation's leading passer from North Texas, going to Oklahoma State. Of course, Cam Coleman, they have him as a top five player in the portal, going to Texas, and a whole lot more. So we can get to those names reading through because there's some interesting ones. Auburn has two of the top 20 players leaving the Plains. But let's get to the phone lines. Who we got?
We do. We have James here with us. What's on your mind on this Tuesday afternoon?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I know that everything's been going on with, you know, the wide receivers and the quarterbacks. What's taking place with special teams? I know we got McPherson, you got Hudson Cock back. Has there been any talk about, you know, who's coming in after they leave?
Not that I've seen. I have seen Towns Magoo taking some visits. Believe he visited California this past weekend. But you do mention right. The guys coming back, ones that you feel pretty good about, as long as McPherson, of course, can get fully healthy. And I believe right. Hudson Cock is coming back. I haven't seen a one way or the other, but I think he is. And so, no, I haven't seen a ton of movement. Auburn continues to recruit guys in the high school ranks there. But unfortunately for those specific positions, as important as they are, James, they're definitely down on the importance list, or I guess the priority list right now in the transfer portal.
Sure, I understand. I know that, you know, you had the Legatron and his brother, and, you know, it's kind of been a long list of kickers through the years. It's like one after another. But after McPherson's eligibility goes, I'm just curious, you know, what's going to happen because, you know, he's been pretty steady, you know, minus this period, Will.
Yeah,
I think that Towns was almost planning on being that in line, that up next type of guy for Auburn, and obviously things didn't pan out. So I would be surprised if Auburn doesn't try to hit some sort of kicker relatively hard at this high school, the next high school rankings.
I got you. All right, guys. Thanks for your time.
Yes, sir. Appreciate the call, James. 334-321-1390. Folks can get in there if they would like to as well, or shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. It's a good question. It is. It's one that Auburn has to address, every team has to address, right, over time, because your kickers and punters don't just last forever. But guys that Auburn is going to have to go after, I'm with you. I think they'll probably go find one in the high school rankings, or you could go find a proven kicker in the portal if you need one.
And I believe the only main special teams guy, we brought in a 5-star long snapper, which equivalents to a 3-star recruit on the high school side of things last year. So,
yeah,
I believe that was the one special team's name that we brought in.
Yeah, so looking at, again, at some of those names who have committed elsewhere, right, we talked about the top five, reading through James Smith, the talented defensive lineman from Alabama, has committed to Ohio State. Alabama also loses Isaiah Horton, their wide receiver. He goes to Texas A&M, which is a really big pickup for them. DJ Lagway, of course, who Auburn will now see most likely in the opener next year, goes from Florida, going to Baylor. You have Deuce Knight, who commits from Auburn to Ole Miss. And there's still a couple of guys out there who have yet to commit for the transfer portal. Jordan Seaton, the offensive tackle from Colorado, believe that was the guy who was the highest rated recruit in the history of Colorado football for Deion Sanders, who is now in the transfer portal. He is yet to pick a home.
I know Auburn is trying to work its way into that discussion as well.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Isaiah Horton, is that the type of name, before we get to Anthony here with us on the phone lines, do you think that Horton commit to A&M was what drove Malcolm? Because I know Texas A&M was his number one.
Well, look,
I don't even
rotation.
Remember seeing that Texas Tech even was a big option for Simmons, at least at the time.
Well, look at the rotation. I mean, you have Horton to Texas A&M, Cam Coleman to Texas, and Malcolm Simmons to Texas Tech. They all went and got number one guys.
Yeah.
They all went and got dudes that they're going to idolize or utilize, and they might idolize them, but utilize them in their offense. I mean, that's three big hefty receivers that have just stepped into the Lone Star State. All three from the state of Alabama, mind you. Think about that for a second. Tell me there's not a shift in college football.
334-321-1390. We head back to the phone lines. Anthony on Auburn, or in Auburn, rather. What's on your mind here on this Tuesday?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, are they going to get another quarterback besides the one that came from with the coach? And the second question is, did Auburn get any more running back behind Jeremiah Cobb and Omar Mapson? Because this is going to be something serious, man. If they can't get it done in the next Auburn. Auburn been down a little while now.
They have, and thankfully we get to say yes to both of those questions. Over the weekend, both a quarterback and a running back both committed and have signed with Auburn. Tristan Tia from Oregon State, who was expected to be the quarterback two at the time, and then you also brought in a freshman from South Florida with Alex Golish, and there's been a commit flip from South Florida to Auburn. So you at least have the names that are planning at Auburn or are planning to coming. And then Bryson Washington, who we saw in Waco, Texas, he has committed and signed with Auburn. And so Jeremiah Cobb and Bryson Washington will be a really, really good duo with Brian Brown in the backfield.
Did a quarterback from Alabama State get any look anywhere, you know, because got in the portal and he was pretty good, even though it was on that little different level of football. But
was it Andrew Boddy by chance, or is it?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if I remember.
I saw he entered
name.
The portal. I saw there was one Alabama State player, I think a DB, that committed somewhere in the P4. But I haven't seen anything on Boddy, the quarterback. No.
Is Boddy also the one that plays golf for Alabama State?
Oh yeah.
I was asking if you knew.
No, I don't know.
Okay. I've seen his social media, if that's him.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything on him going anywhere just yet.
Okay. All right. Just want to touch base, so I appreciate y'all, and y'all continue to do the work.
Yeah, appreciate the call, man. 334-321-1390. Again, phone lines are open for the entire second hour of the show, along with the text box at 334-784-1067. And yes, you do have several quarterbacks. You have several running backs. And Auburn feels confident in that area. And
Texas Tech also got a receiver from Alabama State, Jalen Jones.
Maybe that's who I was thinking of. Or am I thinking of a corner that left there? I thought there was a DB that left Alabama State this year that went and got a big P4.
That's crazy. Body was named the HBCU National Player of the Year despite missing the final four games due to a shoulder injury.
Golly.
So whoever gets him is going to be very, very happy. I'm trying to think. I know there was another running back, another receiver. I don't know the name that...
Maybe I'm thinking of the receiver. I could be thinking of the receiver.
But regardless, some good players.
Yeah, good for them. That's awesome. I mean, well, I guess good for the players. Maybe not good for Alabama State losing guys to P4 schools. That's tough. But
it could be good for them in the future. Shows that can be a legit stepping stone.
Yeah.
Not that Alabama State wants to be that stepping stone, but
those types
to
of
at
schools,
least acquire talent.
We've talked about it. Those types of schools in this new era, they may just have to accept that.
Yeah.
And if the crazy conversation that we've had before, if they basically become the minor league school for a P4 team under the same umbrella, then maybe they accept that and you get good players for 1 or 2 years and then they move on somewhere else, right? But yes, to several of the callers and the ideas, it's the fact that Auburn has brought in several guys in the transfer portal on the offensive side of the football.
It's Quad Brown, the Alabama A&M quarterback that's also on their golf team, which is pretty sweet.
Oh, got you. Okay. Who would you say right now is the biggest grab for Auburn in the transfer portal? Because other than one, there has not been a major splash, I guess, in the transfer portal. Maybe two, right? But at least nationally, there hasn't been a Cam Coleman to Texas type move.
Which you didn't expect.
No, but you did want Auburn to go get some dudes, and I think they have quietly. But who would you say Auburn's best pickup so far is? Is it the obvious?
I mean, Byron Brown is, yes, very clearly the number one, and I think that Bryson Washington, I think, is the number two. I think that being able to get a second running back, and I don't say that from a 1-2 on the depth chart, but every great team in college football, even in the NFL now, has gone to that system of you need two backs that can really carry the load and distribute what they want to do with the carries, what they want to do with the receiving yards, or however the pass blocking, the run blocking, whatever the case may be. You need two of those guys that you can rely on. Auburn, prior to the transfer portal, was one of those few teams that could always rely on two big-time running backs. Mm-hmm. You feel like there's so many years when you had 1A, but then you also had that younger guy that got a third amount of the carries as the 1A running back did, but now you're seeing it. I mean, you look at Notre Dame, you look at Georgia. I mean, those guys split carries, and there's not one of them that have more than 12 to 15 per game unless one is just absolutely dominating, almost like what you saw with the Patriots have. Ramondre Stevenson dominated the backfield over Travion Henderson just because of the physicality. But you have both of those backs that can go and compete and can dominate in their certain aspects of the football game. So I think Bryson Washington is very much that second. But if you take those two, because I think those are the most popular answers of the three or of the two, I think that Keyshawn Singleton would be the other big name for me.
Yeah.
The receiver, and I know that Auburn has signed numerous receivers from South Florida, but I think that, and I think Joseph Simmons right there in those two names are very, very big gets for Auburn.
Yeah, I think so too. And the good news is Auburn isn't done, right? Auburn is still going to get some guys through the portal. You got the dead period going on right now, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That means there's no visitors. That means there's no guys on campus, right, going to see guys or whatever the case may be. Portal closes. Last day is on Friday on January 16th, so keep that in mind as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back and get to the phone lines once again, plus talk some NFL news for Auburn in particular and some guys losing their jobs today. All that coming up in hour number two here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And we have another phone call to get to, 334-321-1390, as Mark has called in and waited through the break. We appreciate you doing so, sir. What's going on this Tuesday afternoon?
Oh, not a whole lot. The question you just asked about who was the top two or most important transfers that Auburn has gotten, and I think most people are going to agree with Brown. I'm going to go with the safety that we just picked up. As long as we can keep him for more than a year or two, couple of years. Is it Arno or the one that was committed to Auburn and then went to Florida State?
Yeah, the cornerback. Yeah, he was committed to Auburn all throughout high school. And then, flipped to Florida State on signing day. And now, has signed back with Auburn.
If you watch the film on this guy, he can cover the boundary. He can cover the field. He is a solid defensive back. And I look for him to get a lot of playing time at corner this year. You put him and Jordan, and Andre Jordan or whatever.
Andre Jordan.
Andre Jordan Jr. Yeah, from UCLA. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he's got a solid defensive backfield to go with the ones that we already have. But anyway, that's all I wanted. That's who I was going to go with as the number two. And the other thing is the offensive lineman that we picked up from South Florida, those guys just look like offensive linemen. I don't know how good they're going to be on the field, but they have the look of what you want from an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Mark, we appreciate the call, brother. Appreciate you holding on through the break as well. Great point on Arno. Shamar Arno, 6'2", 189, the corner, from Florida State, who drove through California to get back to Alabama, but my normal saying is drove to California to get to Texas, but he drove through Florida to get back to Alabama. He took the wrong route, but he got to where he was wanting to go, is what I'm saying here.
Yeah, he knew where he wanted to go, but, that GPS, that dang technology.
It's like you with directions, man. He's going to go all the way around. He's going to get there, but he just missed the cutoff road.
You say it's like me with directions?
Yes. Your directions are horrible.
I don't know about that.
They're not good. I think your directions in this town are not great. I feel like I have to tell you where to go to a place we've been several times, other than the golf course. I think you know how.
Man.
You know where to get to the and the station. You know how to get here. But I will say, unlike other people.
He leaves in 5 minutes. We'll continue.
Unlike
this
other people we
later.
Live with, you're gonna get us there safely. I don't have to worry about my life being at risk when I ride with you.
That's a backhanded compliment. That's a compliment sandwich right there. A good with the bad, but then you finish up with the good so I don't sit there and highlight that one.
I'm just speaking how it is. I don't know. It's not a bad thing. Technology.
I don't know.
Okay. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but you have your phone, just look at where to go.
I don't like relying on that. Dang technology.
I talk bad about the other person we live with. Not you. I can't. She scares me, man. There's a reason they put a hand on the back seat. Because I don't trust it.
Yeah, accurate.
But, no, I like the Arno pick to bring it back. Shamar Arno, I like that. I like that. It's an
I was
under.
I you were going to bring it back because I forgot where we were.
It's an under. Not underwhelming. That's not the word I'm looking for.
Underrated?
Underrated. Maybe that's what I'm looking for. It did kind of slip through the cracks. Shamar Arno, who committed this week, and one that I think Auburn can utilize. You got to feel with Auburn on defensive transfer portal commits, you feel like they're not going to go get somebody unless they really like them. Because of the retention they had on that side of the football.
Sure.
They don't need a ton of help over there. They did need some secondary help. That's why you went and have picked up two corners so far? You needed a couple, three corners so far. Gavin Jenkins, I forgot he came from South Florida as well. So you've picked up two corners. You've picked up a safety. You've picked up an edge guy. So you've picked up some help on the defensive side of the football. But I feel like those guys are depth slash additions, not, oh my God, we're desperate. We don't have anybody to play this spot. I hope he works out, which is refreshing for at least that side of the ball.
I think another name that we're going to get to some of the draft here on the way out, but I think Nate Johnson is going to be a really good get as well. Again, from Missouri, 6'5", 252 pounds. We talked a little bit about him yesterday and how, man, Coach Durkin is going to have an absolute blast being able to mold him into the Auburn defense, because I think he's somebody that you're going to have to see on the field.
Yeah, I think so. And, I mean, several tight ends in this class, you got a defensive lineman in this class. You've got a couple of offensive guys on the offensive line, rather, in this class. You, of course, have picked up a couple of running backs, right? Nobody's talking about Nakaihi Davenport, who came in from South Florida, the 6-foot, 216-pound running back. We haven't really talked about him in terms of that running back rotation. So Auburn has a healthy set of guys at quarterback, at running back. You're bringing in receivers. Jeremiah Koger from South Florida, he doesn't get talked about a ton in this portal class as well. So all sorts of positions on the team. I believe 24, is that the number we're up to now? 24 in the transfer portal that Auburn has added to this team.
Yeah.
And I think you'll see a couple of more. But this dead period's so weird, too. Again, nobody on campus yesterday, today, and tomorrow in terms of visitors, because why not do it right in the middle of the two-week portal window that everybody has? That makes sense.
College football calendar, baby. Nothing like it at all. Well, we have about a minute or two. I want to go ahead and just share, again, just a little quick hitter on Mel Kiper's draft board projections. He had three Auburn Tigers in his most recent projections, and he had one in just about the first three rounds. He had Keldrick Faulk projected to be a first rounder. I don't think that is too much of a surprise. He had Connor Liu as an early second because of the injuries, and then he had Kieron Crawford up to as early as an early third round pick as well. And so three big names, two of them your leaders on the defensive side of the football. You're losing your one major captain on the offensive side of the football, but if Auburn could get some of those guys back in the draft, get them to be legitimate NFL prospects and legitimate NFL talent again, that's going to help you in every way imaginable.
Yeah, especially defensively, where you still have the coordinator who got them there. Offensive guys, which it's been a while since Auburn's done that consistently, but no doubt it helps Auburn and the brand on that front. But 30 more minutes here on the show. Christian's got you the rest of the way. I'm heading to Smith Station. Auburn High School basketball. We take on the Panthers tonight over on 96.3 W League. Girls start at 5:30, boys at 7. I'm heading there. He's got you the rest of the way, and he's got a fun conversation coming up for you after the break.
Halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Christian Griffin here with you in the studio, taking you the rest of the way home. Here is Jacob, just got on the road. We'll plug Auburn High School basketball here in just a little bit, but we just finished up a really nice conversation on Auburn in the transfer portal and the good from the on-the-field perspective. We didn't mention as much. Jacob did a little bit some of the names and the drama that's going on elsewhere with the Sam Levitt saga and how commits to LSU, but Tennessee wants to still say that they're involved in the entire search and in the case almost. But you feel like Lane Kiffin and LSU are going to do everything that they can do to make sure that he comes to Baton Rouge. I believe he mentioned Dylan Raiola again to Oregon, with Dante Moore expected to be one of, if not the top quarterback taken in the NFL draft. But wanted to flip it back over to the Auburn perspective on how the portal taketh, yes, but with all of these changes in the college football transfer portal, The portal giveth just a little bit, too. And if you want to be a part of this conversation, if you found out about the news this morning, as I did, feel free. Let me know how it goes at 334-321-1390. We have mentioned all throughout this transfer portal process that there is no longer the spring transfer portal, right? You have 2 weeks from January 2nd to January 16th to enter your name into the transfer portal. You don't have to commit by then, but you have to at least enter your name and fill out the necessary paperwork by that day, coming up here in 3 days. And so once you hit that point, you know that your roster is not going to be depleted, right? You're not going to have any more subtractions. You could get a couple more additions. I guess the one asterisk would be the teams that are playing in the national championship game with Indiana and Miami. You could have a couple more transfers from those programs. I believe they get 5 extra days. But for the 1%, that is a different conversation for another time, but the 99% of college football teams will not have any more subtractions from their team after January 16th. You could get a couple more additions, but when the spring transfer portal was a thing, right, despite all of the complaints, it was still there. What was the biggest complaint? What was the biggest thing that the fan bases lost because of that? And if you've seen the news that dropped earlier this morning, I think you know where I'm getting at, because we get to welcome back A-Day. We get to welcome back the spring games that the spring portal took from every single college football fan base, every single college football team, and just every single college football community, because coaches were scared to go out there, and rightfully so, that, man, if you go out and you have a really good spring game, Notre Dame or Ohio State or any of these teams can go, oh, man, did you see that slot receiver? Did you see that cornerback? We don't have that spot fulfilled. Someone go give him a call. I know that he's not in the portal, but I still think he's a worthy get. Let's go bring him into the portal so that way we can get him on our team, much less the conversation of quarterbacks or big, big name wide receivers or even running backs from that standpoint that can enter the portal. You also don't have it to where the players don't have the advantage in the winter and in the spring of, yeah, I'm going to go commit to a school and take the NIL money that I get from that school, and then in the spring you re-enter the portal and you go back. I think the Alabama offensive lineman was the main conversation when it came to that, but you saw many other teams and many other players fall victim to that as well. But don't want to necessarily talk as much about the player perspective on that side of things, but rather than just to let everybody know, inform, and talk, man, why I love the A-Day being back for Auburn, and what you would expect to see a lot more of that just from the standpoint of college football. April 18th, 2 p.m., there will be a, quote, full game atmosphere, including the Tiger Walk. You'll have runouts, and you will have the band inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. And I know that the A-Day has changed and been transformed a little bit, and I think the transfer portal did have an effect on that, where it just turned into a glorified practice where you got to watch 15 or 20 minutes of it. And I still don't expect it to be just the way that the game has evolved, going to be a 60-minute or even a 30-minute full 11-on-11, full contact, we're going the offense zero, defense zero, go play a football game and win. But how nice is it that you're now going to be able to have that community event, right? I mean, for me, that was something that I grew up going to, something that I absolutely loved, being able to walk inside Jordan-Hare Stadium and it feel a little bit different because it just felt a little bit more special, I guess you could say, because I wasn't one of 87 at the time, or now 88,043. You felt a little bit more intact. You felt a little bit more special with the signings afterwards and the autographs and just the overall event. Man, it feels, at least for me, like a piece of college football. The true college football is working its way back into fruition. And again, if you have thoughts on this, no text box anymore, as Jacob, no longer with us, but the phone lines right next to me are open for the rest of the show. If you have thoughts on this, if you agree, if you disagree, if you don't like necessarily the transfer portal or the having a day, want your thoughts out there as well, 334-321-1390. But for me, man, it brings back that nostalgic feeling of how so much has changed in the world of college football, but you always could rely on that A-Day. You always could rely on the A-Day game because of the community, because of what it just meant as an eight-year-old Christian walking into the stadium back when I was living in Atlanta and could only see the stadium a couple times a year, of how absolutely awesome it was to be able to walk onto the field or be able to go get some of these pictures and autographs and whatever the case may be. It just feels nostalgic that you're able to get just a slight piece of legitimate old school college football back, and that is so relieving for me. However, it is not just a day. You could call it, they call it a day week. You could call it a week, not a week, a week, presented by Golden Flakes, again, set for April 10th through April 18th, which includes Auburn A Day in there as well. It is a full week of events that they are tying this in there. So the Auburn A Day game will be obviously that Saturday, the 18th, again, as we mentioned, at 2 p.m. But with all of these spring sports going on, they have tied everything into A Day week. And that starts on Friday, April 10th, where you have softball at home against Alabama. You have women's tennis at home taking on Missouri. You also have baseball, their three-game schedule, or their three-game slate getting started with Kentucky that Friday night as well. You then have Saturday, April 11th, where that softball against Alabama, you have game two. And you also have game two at Plainsman Park against Kentucky. Sunday being game three of both softball and baseball. You also have women's tennis against Vanderbilt. You then have the midweek game with Auburn baseball as they host Alabama State. And then there's that Saturday, April 18th, Auburn A-Day football game at 2 p.m. And again, I've stated it before, but man, it feels so relieving that there is a little bit of college football coming back, and the fact now that you can get that in its traditional spot because there is no transfer portal, because there are the spring transfer portal, that is, you now have the ability to bring the community together. You have the ability to bring everybody together. And the fact that they're not only doing it where you have that practice and you have the fun events throughout the crowd and the little timers where you can see all of the different stations, but it's the full game day atmosphere with the run out, with the Tiger Walk. This is going to be a lot of first Tiger Walks for a lot of these guys. It's going to be the first true Tiger Walk for head coach Alex Golish. You saw him have one for his press releases after being named the Auburn head coach. But the first time that he's going to be able to have that true Tiger Walk and walk into Jordan-Hare Stadium with his team, and again, all of the transfers that we've mentioned in there as well, how nice is it that you're going to be able to get that community feel? You're going to be able to get that event inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. Again, the week-long A-Day week presented by Golden Flake. Saturday, April 18th is the game, but April 10th through April 18th, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Gosh, it's so relieving to me. And I wanted to find one of the quotes that I found. I lost it here on the computer just a moment ago. And I know that I had it, but I can't seem to figure it out. So we will continue on. But, man, I mean, again, what an event. Auburn, A-Day week, April 10th through April 18th, 2 p.m., the full game atmosphere, including the Tiger Walk, the runouts, and the band. I tell you what, we're going to take an early break here, come back. I'm going to find that quote, and we're going to finish up the show talking a little about Auburn high school basketball, maybe a little preview for Auburn men's basketball as they take on Missouri here tomorrow night as well. We're going to find the quotes, I promise, because it made me laugh, but it also made me smile, brought me back to my childhood just that much more. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up the show with all of those conversations right after this here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Tuesday edition of On the Line, and man, you're going to be disappointed in me. I cannot find the quote for the life of me. That being said, while trying to find the quote, or at least the information that was released, again, finishing up the conversation from the news release of Auburn A-Day Week being a full week from April 10th to April 18th, having all of the events from baseball, softball, women's tennis the weekend before the midweek game with Auburn baseball and Alabama State, and then Auburn's A-Day game being officially announced for a 2 p.m. start on April 18th being the full game day atmosphere with Coach Golish in year one for the Auburn Tigers and many players being able to make their first true Tiger walk into Jordan-Hare Stadium in there as well. Talked a lot about that and how just a cool event it was that now you don't have that spring portal. You don't have to worry about the poaching of your team in college football, and you would imagine that the spring portal will continue to work its way back into college football the way that you feel like that was what you saw and that was what you loved, and you'd be able to go and watch highlights of your team, and you can actually go and start remembering all of the players that are on your team just because you know that there's not another week for them to jump ship or for you to feel like you have to be able to learn some new names before the spring and the summer months. But while trying to look up a little bit more about that, did want to give a little bit of an update on a former Auburn running back who we just saw the news of about half an hour ago, as Damari Alston has signed with an AAC school, Tulsa. Damari Alston made that official here just a little bit ago. Again, the Auburn Tiger running back, after leaving the team with Coach Hugh Freeze, and yeah, signs with the Golden Hurricanes, and I think that's going to be a really, really good pickup. Again, a very physical runner, as we all saw, somebody that it hurts when you saw his name with all of the drama, everything with the football team last year. But Damari Alston did find a new home with Tulsa, the Golden Hurricanes. And Trey Lamb, I think, found himself a really, really good pickup. What a show it was here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, man. We appreciate everybody for being here with us, and got to talk a little bit more about Auburn in the transfer portal. Again, now 24 incoming transfers for the Auburn Tigers. 36 of them are out from the Plains. We hadn't named a couple of those guys, though, and did want to do so before giving my brief thoughts on Auburn and Missouri, because there have been the official lines that have come out for that contest, but got a text a little bit ago that asked what Jake Johnson will be able to bring from this team, or for this team, rather. And again, the last name is familiar because that is the former, that is the brother of the former LSU, the lefty quarterback, Max Johnson. Again, now you have Jake Johnson, his brother, a big tight end, a 6'6", 240-pound tight end from Bogart, Georgia. Was one of the top prospects from his position. He was the 85th ranked national player in the country, the third ranked tight end, and the ninth overall player out of Georgia a couple of years ago when he was coming out of the high school levels. Things drop, and again, I think that shows why you don't look at stars as much in the transfer portal, just because he's listed as the 459th overall player, but that was because of his real lack of utilization by Bill Belichick in that offense at North Carolina. But he is making his way to the Auburn Tigers. That is now the third tight end for Alex Golish that has signed with the Tigers. You have Jake Johnson. You have the tight end, Jonathan Echols, that has come from South Florida with Coach Golish, and then Xavier Newsome, the Howard tight end, in there as well. They're all going to bring their unique setup. You imagine Jake is going to be a little bit more of your receiving tight end. Xavier Newsome has the athletic ability. I've heard a little bit more of him on the blocking side of things, which Auburn uses very, very well. Almost one of those little outbacks, either lining up just outside one of the tackles, even utilizing him in the backfield, and maybe some of those little slip screens, the misdirections. But really, really excited for that name with Jake Johnson, as he was able to sign with the Auburn Tigers. And I think that's a name that you're going to want to remember as you work your way into the season. One of those names that's kind of piled on behind a lot of the transfer portal commits, one that doesn't necessarily bring the outside noise or the overall media hype, but one that I think should and I think will once he works his way into the season. We talked a little bit about that. We talked about the Cole Kublik rant, as we mentioned. We played about 2.5 minutes of it. And it continues. It was a little bit longer. I mean, it was a lengthy one, and obviously didn't have time to play the full one today, but gave our thoughts on that, both agreeing, a little bit of pushback in there as well. We also talked about some really, really good games in college basketball tonight. You have a couple top 20 matchups outside the SEC. You have a top 25 matchup in the Big East, and then you have a couple ranked teams in the SEC going on the road. Alabama goes to Stark Vegas to take on Mississippi State, and Florida goes to Lloyd Noble Center in Norman, Oklahoma. Florida favored by right around a touchdown. Alabama only favored by 4.5. And again, this is one of those games that you feel like if they would have beaten Texas, you'd have a whole lot of confidence in Alabama just walking in there and dismantling their team. You feel like Josh Hubbard is the guy that you have to watch out for, because we've seen it in SEC play. He will happily shoot the ball 35, 38 times if needed, but he sees one go down and he continues to bring a little bit of confidence just with every single shot. Did want to mention a little bit on Auburn and Missouri before the music kicks me out of here in about 30 seconds or so. We'll talk more in depth about this game, some of the matchups that you need to look for as tomorrow's show goes on. But Auburn, 1.5 favorites on the road in Como in Mizzou Arena. Over under right around 155. So they're expecting this game to be played in the 70s, possibly in the 80s in there as well. We'll talk a little bit about that. Do we have confidence for the Auburn Tigers to walk in, get the job done, pull off a win on the road, which you see has been a little bit of a struggle throughout the years, but hopefully with Missouri, you can get the job done here tomorrow night. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll talk the Auburn football transfer portal as always, and we'll continue talking everything Auburn football, Auburn basketball, and anything else that is on your mind. We have a couple really special guests tomorrow as well, and on the way out of here, 96.3 W Lee, Jacob Goins with Auburn High basketball, varsity girls, then varsity boys, an area game taking on Smith Station. Girls with a big time win streak, boys looking to get back in the right track. And until then, for Jacob Goins, I'm Christian Griffin. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you later.